in this case, State versus William C. Floyd, Jr. Justice Wright is recused. Justice Stephan will be participating on the briefs. Mr. Floyd is pro se. I don't see anybody here on behalf of Mr. Floyd. Mr. Love, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, George Love on behalf of the appellee. Your Honor, I think this case is fairly straightforward. It's based upon a claim made under the statute for reimbursement of costs on a perceived informal pompers. I think the district court laid out the case fairly well in its order, denying the initial cost as well as the subsequent motion. At first, Mr. Floyd was seeking costs for expenses in communicating with the American Bar Association, KITES within the prison system, Northwestern University, as well as the Council for Discipline, Mr. Carlson. I believe that the court accurately pointed out that Mr. Floyd was represented by the Public Defender's Office during the lion's share of his legal proceedings in the four cases I outlined in brief. And having not submitted competent evidence, or at least pointed the court to the evidence in support of the claim, the court was correct in denying the claim.
So there was a telephonic hearing, is correct. That correct? And it was an evidentiary hearing?
In the sense that he
gave an opportunity to present evidence.
Correct. And he did ask the court to take judicial notice of the files.
Were documents submitted?
Documents were submitted, Your Honor, but I am unaware if they were ever offered or received into evidence. They're part of the transcript, which is not evidence. I don't know that they were offered and received into evidence. The court did take judicial notice of the file. In other words, all of the proceedings that Mr. Floyd was involved in, but not necessarily the documents submitted.
We have a bill of exceptions, but it doesn't contain any exhibits.
Then,
is
Your
that
Honor,
right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Then...
I'm sorry, when did the telephonic hearing take place? Was that with respect to the initial motion for the 900 plus?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's part of the complaint of Mr. Floyd in brief is that the telephonic hearing was very abbreviated and he didn't think that was fair. But it was on the original 900.
Because he comes back later in some manner seeking 148.
That's right. Okay. He filed an objection to the order. And again, I...
How would you characterize that order?
I'm sorry?
The motion to objecting to the court order...
Your Honor, that's why I said in my jurisdictional statement, courts are normally liberally construe pro se pleadings. And I pointed out in my jurisdictional statement to the extent that this court would... construe the proceeding as a motion to alter or amend, then he's timely in filing his appeal. If the court construes the motion to the initial order as not a motion to alter or amend, then this court lacks jurisdiction.
Didn't he seem at least to ask to have the amount of the order changed?
Correct.
From zero to...
That's correct. And that's why I'm not basically jumping in one way or the other on the jurisdictional issue. I think
We could construe that to be maybe a motion to vacate, and that was within turn.
Precisely, Your Honor. I think there's arguments on both sides of the fence, but if the court wants to, quote, liberally construe, and I think that's a court function, if the court wants to liberally construe...
And it was
the pleading, then he's okay.
It was filed within 10 days of the order.
Sir?
The objection / motion to alter or amend was filed within 10 days of the order.
Before I Which court order? Okay, yes. It was filed, the objection of the order on September 10th, and the original order was on the 29th, so it's technically 12 days, but on filing.
So that may
August
be not...
August 31st, the yeah, 30 days has September,
isn't
August.
Isn't that the Memorial Day weekend, though? I'd have to check.
Well, you know, I don't think so. Memorial is this month, or May.
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Labor Day would have been the 4th. Yes, that's true. That's very true. That would be a day in addition, but it would still be 11 days. Unless you don't count the August 29th date, the day after, then he's right on the money.
I was thinking that I thought that it was Father again.
No, you're right. I hadn't thought of that. The holiday would have been in there, certainly, on that day. So
okay,
I guess if it's
timely and it's before us, what would be your view of the denial of the 148 order?
Well, my view is simply this. The fact that he's requested the court to allow him to have a second bite at the apple does not obligate the court to do so. It's first up, when you're seeking a legal action and asking for a remedy, I think it's on the party asking for the remedy to put the cogent evidence to support the remedy in front of the court. And what we have here is a series of documents, not in evidence, but even ignoring that fact, a series of documents that really neither don't give the court the cogent information it needs in order to make the decision. It's analogous to the rule on appeal that an appellate court is not going to comb through the record to look for some kernel of evidence in support of a particular party, and I think that's
What does the $148 represent?
I don't know.
There's nothing in the record.
That's right. According to the appellant, at least in the objection, the way if I recall reading it correctly, that was his cost of postage and appellate briefs. But he only had one case in which he had appellate briefs, and he's requesting $148 for reimbursement on that. That's what I deduce from his objection. And so I think the district court was correct in denying relief in this matter because it can't issue a clear order on findings that support the order. And so without that, the party seeking the remedy has the duty, and I think the court aptly pointed that out. So I guess we would ask that you affirm the district court's denial in all respect. If there are no further questions, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Court is adjourned.